Welcome to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. If you haven't seen Shane Carruth's directorial debut, Primer, you're missing out. It's really something to witness, and it's one of those debut films that people are still kind of in awe of. He wrote it, he directed it, he was the editor, composer, and he starred in it. It was just, yeah, really, really great. His sophomore effort is called Upstream Color, which screened at South by Southwest. Like Primer, Shane was the writer and everything else I listed above, including, again, the actor in the film. The film also stars Amy Semetz, I think I'm pronouncing that right, and it's about how two people mysteriously come together by a strange, almost mystical and evil kind of organism. The film is more about ideas than anything else, and it's really something that you should see in a theater. It might take you a couple minutes to get into it, but once you do, the film just takes over. I talked to Shane at South by Southwest, and he is absolutely so inspirational. I would love to have half his energy and intelligence. In the interview, we talk about why he did everything on the film, including being the lead, if he has any vanity at all while watching himself on screen, casting, how he got the idea for the story, and really a whole lot more. It's such an interesting interview, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. I do appreciate it when you support the advertisers because every tiny click does help. Also, do you need a website? Because every actor needs one, and Daily Actor is here to help. We do custom websites that are affordable, and it's not going to kill your bank account. We also sell casting director mailing labels and have a great actors resource page. Check that out, and also be sure to take a look at our other interviews on dailyactor.com. And now, here's Shane. You know, the film, it took me like a couple minutes to get into it, but after that, man, I was just completely immersed in the, and then all of a sudden it was over, you know? I loved it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, and then the two friends that I were with, they felt the same way. They were just, I don't want to say mesmerized, but yeah, it was just like, it was just this completely sort of immersive sort of, it kind of envelopes you,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations, man.
Well, thank you.
Really, really good.
Thanks a lot.
How did that come about? Like, were you just kind of walking down the street and boom, and then it sort of grew from that, or?
No, it started sort of benign. It was just about, like personal narratives and personal identity. I think I started having these conversations with people where, like if it was just about something trivial, like some news item of the day, and they would have their take on it, and I would have my take on it, but it seemed like more times than not, we were just lining up talking points. Like that, we weren't really having a conversation. It's just like either, you know, maybe they're liberal and I'm conservative, maybe it's the other way around, and that's the beginning and end of the conversation. And I guess I started to notice that that wasn't just with politics or current events; that it started to be with everything. With political beliefs or religious beliefs or cosmic beliefs or scientific beliefs or, you know, just morality in general and all of these things. And so that's when it started. I started playing with this thought experiment of, okay, well, great, what if you strip somebody of that? Just take it away and then they have to rebuild it based on maybe the wrong information. Maybe they, you know, and so that's, I guess that became the kernel of it, is I knew I would have characters that would have a moment where they wake up, it looks like they have done something, they can't quite atone for why they would have, and so the explanation they come up with becomes the narrative, and that's what they try to fulfill and live by. And there would be this tension because they would be suspicious that there's something just a bit off about this. Anyway, so that's where it started. In order to make that happen, that's when I came up with the weird, you know, sort of life cycle that is swarming around them. And it just needed to satisfy all this different criteria. I mean, I guess maybe I should step back a bit. Because what started as a thought experiment really truly got emotional for me the bigger it got. The less it became about, like, you know, current events or political beliefs, and the more it became just about everything. Your memories, who you are, how you got to this point, what the world deserves from you, what you deserve to give, I mean, what you should be giving to the world. Like, everybody has their sort of their shape, and to have that taken away just seems horrifying to me. And so that's when I really started to pour my whole self into this and try to figure out, well, how do you solve this? And I wanted some system at play that would be swarming around these characters that they couldn't know about, It would be out there. It'd be off screen, happening and affecting them, but they can't know that it's there. And even maybe the three points on the triangle, they can't know that each other is there. Mm-hmm. The thief is doing his little thing, but doesn't know that the pig farmer is doing his thing and the orchid harvesters. That there's an entire cycle here that's not a conspiracy. It's just people that found tricks in nature. And to me, what that means is that now we're talking about something that's embedded in the place that we live, and it's always been here, and it cycles on its own volition, not because of some other, you know, like an alien force or whatever it would be. So if I can accomplish that, my thinking is that now we've got a story that's universal. Now we're not pointing to the pharmaceutical industry or pointing to that religion. It's about everything. The common feeling that we are being affected by things off screen in some way. It was a long sort of process, but it started slow, and then I got very, very passionate about what it could feel like emotionally, and so that led to these elements.
So when you're thinking about it, do you like mind map it and like have this here, this have this here, have this here, or are you just like putting thoughts on paper? Because I mean, it seems so intricate.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem to me like, because I've written a few screenplays, and it doesn't seem to me like, and I'm just sitting there typing, oh, this would be funny if this guy did
right.
this. You know what I mean? How did you?
No, exactly
walk the
that.
Story?
I mean, I was trying to teach myself painting at the time, and I'm not any good. But I was definitely using that as a way to you know, visualize how this was all going to work. I think I've thrown them away by now, but I know I had sketches that basically looked, if you imagine, like whatever it is I'm doing with my hands was written out, that's what it was. It was like the three points on the triangle, we have central characters in the center, we have offshoots from there, and how, you know, all that, yeah. It's weird. I think I'm just starting to do that. Maybe everybody does that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that?
What? Which?
Just like start sketching out, like literally sketches of where people are in the world and how they're connected.
No, I'm a horrible sketcher, but I've done like mind map. That's why it came to mind. I've done
maybe
like
that's what
like
I'm
that,
trying to say.
You
yeah.
know, like there's some good like programs and like I like do this and this and like move. You can move things around and it's really really cool. And I just thought because the thing it's so intricate, like it had to be, you know, done something like that had to be done. That's the only way I could think it could be accomplished.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I'm writing now too, and I'm realizing I have one for that as well. That's fun.
You're also in this. Was that a necessity because you're like, I don't have the time to... And you did everything on the film. But is that, I don't have the time to explain or work with somebody because I know exactly what I want?
Yeah, it's a lot of things. It's one, when you're dealing at this level of production, one less person to have to figure out schedule-wise, that's always a good thing. that's not the whole story, though.
Shit, I can't be there tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. But there's also, I mean, I guess a couple other reasons are that I don't have a lot of experience working with actors. But I do know that when you're in a scene with somebody, you know something about that scene that maybe you don't if you're just observing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Amy and I are interacting, there's some information being transferred back and forth. When you provoke someone and then they react and they provoke you, you're receiving something. So it's good to get your hands dirty and be in there if you can, I believe. And then I have to admit, like there's a real selfish side of this that I found this story to be pretty compelling and romantic and sort of like the idea of being able to step into it if I could.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there sort of a vain side to you where you like, when you do a scene, you're like, shit, I just screwed that up. Let's do it again. Or you run back and like look at playback, or I don't know if you guys have that on there, but you know, where you're like, all right, Amy, you were great, but
yeah,
I just want to redo this.
No, my memory is that I was the problem most of the
time. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, because, you know, I was like, no, let's go again. No, let's go again. And I actually remember Amy saying, what are you trying to actually do? Because it's the same every time. And I was like, no, the first three were horrible and this one's getting better. And I swear in my head that's what I thought. And then I would look at it later and be like, yeah, why? The first one's the same thing. Like, it wasn't getting, it's just the same. It is what it is. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm a problem.
Have you taken, like, any sort of, like, acting lessons or classes? Or are you just like, I'm just going to dive headfirst into...
Yeah. No, I haven't
Yeah.
taken any. probably should.
No. Because I thought you were great, and that's why. I was trying to see if you had done anything, you know. And I'm like, wow! But congratulations, good job.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I talked to a lot of actors and directors, and they always, and I try to ask them for advice, you know, for the readers on how they got to where they are, and they said, you know, don't wait for the phone to ring. Do it yourself. Just, you know, because you're not going to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you are like the perfect example of that. What? Because you went to college and you were a math major.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
Had you always sort of envisioned or wanted to get into this, or how did that?
Sort of. It's weird. I fell into math just because I just found it so beautiful. Like there was just a balance to it. But at the same time, I was writing a lot. I didn't know what form it was going to take, because I was writing like short stories, and mm-hmm. then for a while I was working on something I thought would be a novel, and I only got about halfway through. But so I was learning about, you know, how, what it is that I think I can do. Because like for instance with the novel, I found about halfway through that I was refusing to write internal monologue or really anything that you couldn't observe if you were just in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while it occurs to me that I'm just writing screenplays. Like, I'm just writing what you can see and hear.
Huh.
I'm not adding any more information. And I also enjoyed, like, the thriftiness of being able to convey somebody's mental state by a few actions that they would perform. So, anyways, that and a bunch of, you know, seeing other films that were really affecting me put me on that path, and I just, I don't know. I eventually just came to understand or believe that film is the height of narrative right now, and I wanted to be involved with it.
When you sort of made that realization, did you like devour like books on or like screenwriting books, or you're just like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it?
I've never read a book on screenplay writing for whatever reason.
That's amazing.
That seems wrong. I've definitely read a ton of books on filmmaking, and but for whatever reason, when it comes to the writing, I have something in me that doesn't want to. I don't want to be affected by how this is meant to go. Like I know, there's a 3-act structure. Like I get that,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to know that because I don't want a 3-act structure.
Uh-huh.
I want to figure out what else it can be. So I'm worried. I guess I'm worried about learning that.
Well, your writing process, do you like schedule time out of the day, or is it just like you wake up at midnight and start writing, like, you know?
It changes, because at first, for me, maybe this is like what it is for you, but it's like at first it's like you have to be diligent. Like if you don't want to do it, you do it anyways. It's like running every morning or something. But after a while, when you fall in love with it or whatever, then it's like everything in my life needs to go away so I can write. I need to write every minute of the day. So it's the spectrum.
Casting. How did you know the actors prior, or how did that work?
No, I didn't know any of them. Everybody but Amy was part of a casting process in Dallas, and for her, I was investigating like all avenues, and her name was given to me by David Lowry, basically, and Toby Halbrechts. And she was in Florida, and I called her up. I think I just saw like a few, maybe 60 seconds of her acting on YouTube. But I was just calling her up because I was meant to call everybody and just sort of field whether possibilities. So she was in the middle of editing her film that she wrote and directed called Sun Don't Shine.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I knew nothing. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know anything. But here's an actress telling me she's editing a film. And I was like, okay, whatever. That's probably not true. And or she's like sitting with an editor or something. Uh-huh. I don't know. There's something about this that's off. And she goes, yeah, I can send it to you if you like. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to see that. And I was expecting to see, you know, some, I don't even know, some like experimental fashion thing. I don't even know what I was thinking. And I turned it on, and I got about 10 minutes in and was so amazed by it that I didn't consciously decide, but I'm pretty sure I had already decided that she needed to be the lead, because she just gets narrative. And I just felt like we're going to have a shorthand here. Just, I mean, it's just, you know, there's going to be less and less and less to have to talk about, because she obviously gets how this stuff works and works so well. And then I started to get a little bit worried. Like, why would I bring somebody to town who's probably a better director than me? Uh-huh. That doesn't make a lot of sense. it was great.
Do you think you're getting better at directing actors? Or was it like, was it difficult for you at first? Because you have a specific idea what you want, probably more so than most people, because you know you're doing everything on the production.
Yeah.
Did you find it difficult to sort of convey that?
No, it's weird. I don't know what the difficulty is with, because if an actor has their skill set figured out and they're smart enough to key into what your story is, really there's not a lot to talk about, in my understanding. Mm-hmm. It's only when we have these stories of directors having to trick actors into thinking one way or the other. That seems like an issue. That doesn't seem like something that we should be, that shouldn't be a skill. That's almost like when things go bad, how do you, I don't know. I would hope that to solve that in the casting process instead of the, we're on set and I can't seem to explain to an actor what it is that we're doing, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
So I hope that's not a skill I develop.
What are you working on next? Because I'm completely eager to see it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it's called The Modern Ocean. It's basically a tragic romance set against shipping routes in the world. A group of people that build routes, try to make them profitable for, you know, picking up certain commodities and dropping them off in other parts of the world. And once they make it profitable, they sell it off to a bigger company. And anyways, in this process, we've got lots of characters that are pointed in different directions and end up wreaking havoc. And then we have the pirates and repo men and explosions and all
nice.
Of that. All the fun stuff.
Nice. Yeah. When do you start?
Hopefully end of summer.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Man, so happy to talk to you.
Oh, me too. Well, thank you so much
for
your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for yours.
Thanks, Shane. And thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.